You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. On Monday, Sacramento State released the findings of a highly anticipated forensic examination of Capital Public Radio's finances. The findings focus heavily on prior leadership and found several instances of misuse of funds and conflicts of interest at CAP Radio, which is an auxiliary of Sac State. Specifically, it found more than $700,000 in unsupported payments, payments not backed up by expense reports or receipts. Nearly $400,000 was paid out to one unnamed former CAP Radio executive. The document released on Monday is a summary and not the full report. In addition, all names have been redacted, including those of former CAP Radio board members accused of potential conflicts of interest. Conflicts that allegedly took place as the station awarded lucrative contracts for its now failed downtown headquarters project. Sacramento State President Dr. Luke Wood said on Monday that some information had been redacted to, quote, avoid jeopardizing a related investigation by the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office, end quote. Notably, there's something else you won't find in the document. There's no mention of Sacramento State's supervision and oversight role, despite the fact that university administrators sat on the CAP Radio Board of Directors during the period in question. I'm joined today by my colleague and Insight producer, Jen Picard. Over the next 20 minutes, the two of us will discuss the forensic exam, we'll hear from an expert on nonprofit management, and then we'll offer a timeline for what happened and who was in charge here at CAP Radio and Sac State as the station careened into a financial crisis last year. Jen, thanks for joining me to talk about this difficult but important topic.
Thanks, Chris. I'm here.
So before we dive in on the forensic exam, let's catch our listeners up a little bit. This is the second major report to come out in the last year, taking a close and critical look at the station's finances. Remind us about last September's audit and the overall financial crisis we've experienced.
Yeah, that's right. So in September 2023, Sac State and the Chancellor's Office, CSU Chancellor's Office, released an audit that was conducted by the California State University's office. It noted numerous instances of poor financial practices and record keeping, many tied to CAP Radio's costly downtown headquarters project, as you mentioned earlier. That included lack of payment on an $8 million loan for 2 years and a lack of approval for more than $1.1 million in loans for studio equipment and furniture from the station's board of directors. The release of the audit came less than a month after CAP Radio laid off 12% of the staff, both here in Sacramento and at the Chico-based North State Public Radio. We cut four music programs. That, I think, was also the first time that many people were aware there were financial problems happening at CAP Radio. Just days after this report was released, 14 board members resigned. They cited a failure of Sac State to inform and engage with the board in a good faith effort to resolve CAP Radio's financial issues.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here, and there's, you know, a lot has also happened since that time a year ago, so we want to chronicle some of that. There's new leadership at Sacramento State with a new president, President Luke Wood. There are now new faces on the CAP Radio board. There are stronger financial controls put in place by Sacramento State. There's still financial challenges ahead, but at least generally speaking, things have stabilized financially. We recently hired two new state politics reporters who were introduced here on Insight this week, Megan Myskowski and Laura Fitzgerald. And just this week, CAP Radio added a new communities reporter, Gerardo Zavala, who will work with the Sacramento newsletter. We should also note that although this very difficult year or so, our newsroom has independently reported on our station's financial troubles, both online, here on Insight, and in our newscasts. Following NPR's protocol for reporting on itself, no CAP Radio corporate official or news executive reviewed this segment prior to airing. So back to the forensic exam, Jen. Why was this second additional report needed? And what kind of expectations did CAP Radio and Sacramento states set for this report?
Yes. So leaders were very adamant that the initial report, the audit, that there needed to be a deeper dive, that we needed to get to the bottom of how and why this happened, who was responsible, how the decisions got made. And they said that it would be wide ranging and transparent, that it was necessary for the station to continue to rebuild trust with the public, to have a deeper dive into the situation. And that's why the forensic examination was ordered. Sacramento State President Luke Wood spoke with Vicky Gonzalez about it in January, and here's what he had to say.
We do have to look retrospectively and see what were the things that led to us being in such a disastrous standpoint. And unfortunately, I think that we're gonna see some stuff come out of that.
Could be expected like at the end of this month, potentially,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, it will be sometime in this month that we'll have at least the preliminary findings. And I'll say that we've also, as a campus, of course, been working with a forensic examination firm, providing them with additional information, pooling information that we've been able to find. And I could say that we don't have any preliminary findings yet, but I can look at even the information that we're providing, there's concerns. And those concerns are, again, about the past and about what happened in the past. But
will that translate to accountability?
It's going to have to.
Okay, so that was President Luke Wood speaking with Vicky Gonzalez back in January, sort of setting some of the expectations for this new report that was finally released this week.
Yes, we were promised it for many months, actually. And we, as independent reporters on this, we have been attending board meetings. We have been inquiring into management as to when we would expect the report finalized. And it kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And what we did finally receive was a summary of this report that's highly redacted.
Right. I think that's important to note. It's not the full report. We have put in public record requests for the full report. I think it's also important to note that CAP Radio management and Sacramento State officials have declined interview requests about the forensic exam. We've offered them the chance to speak about the report, including here on Insight. So far, they've declined, but the offer remains. CAP Radio management has said they will not speak about the forensic examination due to significant legal considerations.
Yeah, that's correct. And we did reach out to the Sacramento Sheriff's Office and did confirm that there is an ongoing investigation, but that's as far as we got. So, Chris, we should go back a little bit and talk about what our newsroom has been up to since the release of this examination. So we've reached out to numerous former CAP Radio and Sac State officials for comment. We've reached out to the Sheriff's Department. Many are declining to speak. The sheriff did acknowledge that there was an investigation. Sac State did answer some additional questions for us via email, but we've also reached out to some outside experts on finance, media, and nonprofits to analyze the rest of the report. So earlier this week, CAP Radio's politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald spoke with Rick Cohen. He's the chief operating officer at the National Council on Nonprofits, which advocates for and provides insights on nonprofit organizations. Here is a portion of that interview.
What was your initial impression upon, you know, reading the report?
My initial impression was that the organization fell into a trap that, unfortunately, too many organizations, for-profit and nonprofit, run into, and that is, you know, potentially having good policies in place, but relying way too much on personal trust between people and allowing things to happen that did not go along with the policies that should have been in place. It happens too many times when you get, you know, board members who are too friendly with the leader of an organization, and they believe, you know, they've known somebody for a long time. They believe they can do no wrong. They don't want to micromanage the person. They want to show that they trust them to act legally and ethically. And sometimes that trust is well placed, and sometimes it is not well placed. And, you know, those are the kinds of situations where challenges can come up. There's a lot of what it seems like CLA uncovered in here was there was a lack of documentation. There was a lack of, you know, reviewing to make sure documentation is there. And over time, knowing that nobody was looking at the documentation, you know, that can lead to, you know, trying to stretch things further and further.
So, Chris, you spoke with former Cap Radio board member Roger Dreyer last fall about this very topic of trust, about the board members trusting Cap Radio and Sac State management to do the right thing. What did he tell you?
That's right. I did. I spoke with Roger Dreyer. And as we get to his comments, you know, those comments from the nonprofit expert, they do really resonate with me now, this idea that board members were, what he said, relying way too much on personal trust. That was his impression, that they believed management could do no wrong. When it comes to Roger Dreyer and his comments, let's back up just a tiny bit and give some background. Dreyer told me he served on Cap Radio's board of directors from 2017 or 2018 until last fall.
And Chris, that's when 14 of our board members resigned very abruptly. And Dreyer was among those members?
He was. He was among the 14 that resigned.
And that happened just a few days after the release of the initial audit by the chancellor's office.
That's correct. And he has also recently declined to talk about the forensic exam. But when we did speak last October, Dreyer told me the board only became aware of the severity of Cap Radio's financial troubles, quote, when the initial audit was published back last year. That's the first time the board knew. Nothing was communicated to the board. I asked him whether the board, Cap Radio's board, had asked enough questions of Cap Radio management and Sac State officials. Dreyer responded, "The board had its responsibility and did its job." Just the next part here, quote, "We're dependent on staff and the general manager. We depend on what they're telling us to be accurate," end quote. He added, "We were doing everything we could."
Did Dreyer say anything about specific staff? What kind of relationship did he have with them?
He did. I asked him about several Cap Radio executives, including former general manager June Reyna, who left the organization last year. In response, Dreyer said, quote, he turned it into a question. He said, quote, "Did the GM make good decisions? Probably not," end quote. "But we're not there for every decision he makes. We're not micromanaging the general manager." Dreyer added that Reyna was very well liked. He said, quote, "We trusted him," end quote. Dreyer rejected the idea that Reyna was involved in malfeasance or anything criminal. Dreyer said, quote, "I don't think he did anything like that at all," end quote. Again, this was all from an interview last fall.
And was he the only board member that responded to our interview requests?
You know, we had some board members who were willing to speak off the record. Largely, they have not responded or declined.
So let's go ahead and listen to another clip from our nonprofit expert, Rick Cohen, that our reporter, Laura Fitzgerald, checked in with this week. This time, Cohen talks about the allegations of conflict of interest with the Cap Radio board.
A conflict of interests is not always a bad thing. Sometimes an organization has business leaders on their board, local leaders on their board, people who are experts in the subject matter that the nonprofit works on. And so contracting with them or doing business with them makes sense because, you know, they have a service to provide. But the organization has to go through a good process of making sure they're getting competitive bids to ensure that, you know, working with this, with a company that may have a relationship to a board member is in the best interests of the nonprofit. And, you know, if they have the lowest price, then, you know, that's good for the nonprofit. You know, you don't want them to pay a higher price just to not work with a company that, you know, happens to have a connection to them. but you've got to do the bid process. You have to ensure that the person, you know, with that company that you're looking at is completely out of any conversations about awarding that contract, not just the vote on the contract, but out any conversations about the scope of the project or negotiations or anything like that. And so, you know, it's tough to tell with what processes and procedures and policies they had in place and whether this was a matter of not following policies and procedures or whether the policies, you know, just weren't there or weren't strong enough. But it seems like there was too much trust, and it looks like it was taken advantage of to the detriment of the organization.
And again, that's national nonprofit expert Rick Cohen. Jen, what do we know about CapRadio's former board of directors, the one that largely disbanded last fall, and its potential conflicts of interest during this time where the station was careening into a financial crisis? Can you touch on contracts, the board's bid processes?
Yeah, so unfortunately, what we know at this moment is just what is in the exam, and it is a summary and heavily redacted, but it does focus on, and I quote, several potential avenues of personal benefit by a former executive and board members of CPR. The scope of that examination, again, took place between July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2023. The report is very clear that CLA is not making any legal claims or conclusions of guilt or wrongdoing, but they did find, and CLA again is the firm, the accounting firm that did the exam, and I quote, that there is evidence of possible conflicts of interest when it comes to, particularly when it comes to leasing one of the new CPR headquarters locations at 730 I Street, and in, again I quote, in procuring a furniture contract to furnish the new CPR headquarters. Three additional board members, all not identified in the summary released to the public, were found to have potential conflicts of interest that don't seem to be addressed or acknowledged by the board, according to both the exam and board minutes that we have reviewed in our own reporting. We do have numerous public records requests out for more information, including the entire forensic exam.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. I'm joined by Insight producer Jen Picard. We're talking about a highly anticipated forensic exam of Cap Radio's finances, which was released earlier this week. We do have one more clip from the nonprofit expert, Rick Cohen, but I'm just going to summarize it here. He essentially was asked by our politics reporter, Laura Fitzgerald, how nonprofits can rebuild trust after losing it. You know, he said, certainly it takes a lot of time, a lot of steps, a lot of transparency. He talked about the need for nonprofits to communicate with the community and, again, be open. So in that spirit, our newsroom and Insight team wants to offer some transparency about our organization's financial crisis through our role as independent Cap Radio journalists. So with my colleague here, Jen Picard, we'll walk our listeners through step by step the timeline of what happened here at Cap Radio, or at least what we know of it. We'll also talk about who was in charge in various leadership roles at the time. To be clear, we're not in a position at this point to explicitly name Subject One and the other individuals who have come under scrutiny in the forensic examination.
That's right. We really want to confirm all of our reporting, but we know there's a lot of interest in what is happening and in how Cap Radio, under the supervision and oversight of Sacramento State, could have fallen into such a deep and severe financial crisis. We receive emails from listeners, from donors all the time asking us about this. The forensic exam details the alleged conflict of interest of some former Capital Public Radio board members and the misuse of funds by a former Cap Radio executive. Funds in the neighborhood of hundreds of thousands of dollars. But it doesn't answer the larger question about how our organization arrived at that point where it was millions of dollars in debt. We laid off 12% of our staff and cut four music programs before the audit was released. We also saw a long-planned multi-million-dollar downtown headquarters project collapse. So how and why that happened still remain the burning questions for us, and we have asked those in charge to answer them. But our newsroom is working on the story, and we hope to bring you more reporting on this very soon.
We do. But in the meantime, Jen, let's go back a few years and detail the Cap Radio timeline that led up to this crisis, starting with that expensive downtown headquarters project, one that's really been at the center of Cap Radio's larger financial problems.
Yeah, that's right. So back in April of 2019, Cap Radio announced a $10 million relocation to downtown Sacramento. We reported at the time that it was a 34,000 square foot building that would host all of Cap Radio's employees, and with the space to eventually double the staff size to 140 employees. But the space had been in development long before that, according to June Reyna. Cap Radio began exploring the possibility of moving downtown 2 years prior to that. And when we made the announcement of the move, the station launched its capital campaign with a specific goal to raise $10 million for that relocation. Rick Etchison said that so far, we were just over halfway toward meeting that goal, and reported in board meeting minutes that we had raised $5.5 million toward that goal.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rick Etchison. He's the general manager before June Reyna took over. And one reason we're focused on the downtown headquarters, obviously the cost, but it was a very public project. We had press events. We had the backing of state and local leaders. They toured the facility. It was just a huge part of our organization for years. So again, we mentioned a couple of top Cap Radio executives. There's former general manager Rick Etchison, then June Reyna, who took over as Cap Radio's GM later on. Jen, it's important to note some dates here and how they line up with the investigation period of the forensic exam that we've been talking about. How do they line up?
Yeah, so CLA was very clear that their investigation period for this forensic exam started on July 1st, 2020 and ran through June 30th, 2023. On July 1st, 2020, Cap Radio announced that June Reyna would become executive vice president and general manager of the station. He replaced Rick Etchison, who remained on the payroll as president emeritus until June 30th, 2020.
You know, and just a tiny bit more background here on leadership at Cap Radio during this period. So before taking over as general manager, June Reyna served as Cap Radio's chief financial officer from 2007 to 2012. He was subsequently promoted to a role that included his CFO duties and chief operating officer. That was according to a Cap Radio news release from July 2020. Reyna is currently listed online as a CEO of Family Support Services, a Bay Area nonprofit. It's important to note we have made multiple attempts to reach Reyna for comment, but we have not heard back.
We've also contacted Rick Etchison for comment and have reached out to multiple members of the board.
You know, I think before we finish here, you know, Sacramento State is obviously a huge part of this. We're an auxiliary of Sac State. They hold the license to Cap Radio. They've had administrators for years on our board, including during this period in question. Their role was to provide oversight. So let's go through a little bit of Sacramento State's role and some of the individuals. Last September 2023, Sacramento State appointed its chief financial officer, Jonathan Bowman, to oversee the operations of Capital Public Radio. This followed that initial audit that you talked about. The university had said back in 2021 that Bowman was the one that noticed inconsistencies with Cap Radio's finances, which led the university to request that initial audit. He was appointed to the Cap Radio Board of Directors earlier in 2023, and his finance and accounting team took over Cap Radio's finances last August. Jen, do you want to talk about what the news we got about Bowman in July?
Yeah, just last month in July 2024, Sac State announced that Bowman had resigned his position effective immediately. This was just days before the forensic exam was released. No reason was given for his resignation. We did ask Sac State for comment, and they cannot comment because it was a personnel matter.
Okay, well, we are going to continue to report on this independently as a newsroom. You can find all of our work online at capradio.org. We'll talk about it again on Insight. Jen, thank you very much for being here to walk through this topic.
You're welcome.
Jen Picard is a producer with Insight. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.